And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL-LP with Walt Rubel and Peter Goodman co-hosting. And our guest for this half hour is Juan Garcia. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming back because we've disagreed in a friendly way about a whole lot of topics. What do you most want to talk about, or what do you most want to tell folks who are listening?
So first of all, thank you for inviting me again. It's always a pleasure with you guys. I try to look at things objectively as best as I can. I know there's a big thing about Trump, and just for the record, I agree with a lot of things he's doing. I agree why he's doing a lot of things, and there's a lot of things I don't agree with, and particularly the his language at times gets a little concerning. I certainly don't condone that. And excuse me, some of the and some of those comments, insults to me, they're uncalled for. Yeah. Regardless of whether it's one of the counselors or whether it's the president, it doesn't make any difference. Right. There is no need for that. But what I see happening very often is that something will happen, and before you know it, it gets blown up. Okay, it doesn't make any difference what the issue is. And I think how I got invited here was Peter's article where he talked about blowing up the fishing boats. Okay. I mean, if you disagree with that, which is fine, but what I started looking at is, are those really fishing boats, number one?
Yeah, I agree with you. They're not. Can we stipulate for that? We'll leave Peter out of this.
Yeah, okay, let's leave Peter out of that one. So,
I'm not sure they're even.
Well, the thing about it is, we have a tendency, us three.
Let me ask you, do you think they're probably fish or men who are recruited to be drug runners?
Very possible.
Yeah,
okay. Very possible.
So we probably agree on that.
Make good money.
Right. Exactly. Quick.
Yeah, no problem.
Trying to feed their family.
But the outrage that is being presented is kind of interesting because people say, well, it's not a drug boat. It's not this. It's not that. What people fail to realize is that what you and I see is not what the military is seeing. With the level of sophistication on satellites.
Right.
Imagery and also the things.
We're seeing what they want us to see.
Well, let's assume for a moment, and I very much doubt that this is true, but let's assume they got whatever spy things and they got people on the ground in Venezuela telling them, and these boats are carrying, they're not carrying fentanyl, which the president keeps saying, we just saved a quarter of the overdoses from last year on fentanyl, because fentanyl doesn't, for the most part, come through there to here. It's probably cocaine. You would probably agree that that's not a capital crime. Importing drugs is not, you don't get, under our laws, you can't get hung for that, right?
No, but I do get concerned about the kids that are on the street that are getting hooked onto that.
Let's agree. Okay. People should not sell drugs to kids. Preventing drugs, particularly fentanyl, from coming in is an important thing to do. But that doesn't allow me to kill people.
Well, you're stopping the flow of drugs in, okay? And if along the way this happens, and so let me back up. We are making our comments or on assumptions, okay? We're assuming, because Peter hasn't seen him, Juan hasn't seen it, that there is actually no fentanyl, whatever it is. I agree with you.
We know where the routes are.
Give me another example of your guys.
But go ahead.
Your guy basically said on one of these strikes, he said, we just saved 25,000 Americans. You know how many overdoses were in the country in 2024?
Quite a few.
81,000.
Okay.
Including overdoses of prescription drugs.
I think
so. If you assume that all the 75,000 were, he's just saying we saved a third of the overdoses we have in a year because of fentanyl. but fentanyl doesn't come through there.
And again, I would be hesitant to say with any fact or any saying it's definite not coming, because we can speculate a lot. Now, what I do disagree is the numbers. And like I said earlier, the president has a tendency to stretch things out. I mean, if I don't like it, I don't agree with it, particularly at that level. I think the comments or the words of the president and the council, whichever it is, are important, and they should be as factually as they can be.
Let me ask you, you served in the military for a long time.
Yes, right? I did. I spent 25 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you agree, assuming that the facts are that a boat was sunk, it had not gone down yet, but it was turned over, people had been killed, it was taking on water, and it was the people, there were two people clinging to it who did not have weapons to shoot at you, and they didn't have radio to bring people to rescue them. Would you agree that shooting them, if they were Nazis or Japanese in the Second World War or whatever, that would be a war crime?
If that happened,
okay.
I would disagree.
Okay.
I would agree that that
you're
shouldn't
not
have
conceding
happened.
That it happened, no, but no, you no. would agree it's a war crime.
Well, I'm not going to say a war crime either, Peter.
Well,
okay, I know you use the term war crime in your article, but my goodness, I watched some of the Nuremberg trials. That's a huge stretch.
Well, there were
Nazis
who got tried, Nazi commanders who got tried after World War II for doing just that.
Exactly.
And even if it's not a war crime, and I think probably it's murder rather than a war crime because we're not at war, but if the FBI or the Las Cruces Police Department I think that truck's got drugs in it and blew it up, and then some poor guy was stumbling out of the door and they blew him away too. You'd have a problem with that, wouldn't you?
But here's the thing. There was a presentation, or there was supposed to be a presentation, at least I read about it, to the Congress behind closed doors in their skiffs and so forth. So somebody probably knows the truth about this.
There's a videotape that could clear all of this up. Shouldn't we all be able to see that?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I agree.
Most of the Democrats and Republicans, I think, who saw it, give an account that's very like what we just talked about, that, you know, a couple of guys are still alive and they get blown away. One, Tom Cotton, says something different, and the president, or Hegseth, is not not allowing us to see the video, which would tell us.
And the thing, too, Peter, having been in the service, and I worked for a defense contractor, not everything that goes on behind closed doors should be privy to the public.
No, agreed.
Okay. So is there a reason why the Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War is not allowing this video to be released? It's possible. It is possible.
It's possible that there's sensitive material on it?
It is possible.
That the first video didn't?
We don't know.
That's the point. We don't know. And that's why they should release it, so that we have more information.
They're pushing for that.
Here's my problem with all of this. I've got a real problem with referring the term narco-terrorists. Drug dealers are now terrorists. Here's my problem with that. The people on 9/11 who were killed by terrorists, they showed up for work. That was the only thing they did to contribute to their death. The people who die every day from drug overdoses not only contribute to that, but they will go to great lengths, intentionally breaking the law, lying, stealing, putting them in the same classification, and I don't mean to be heartless or soulless. They need help. But they're not innocent victims. They're not terrorism victims the same way as those people who just went to work on 9/11. They just aren't.
I agree. And the reason, my understanding, and I could very well be wrong, is by labeling, having certain labels allows you to do certain things. Okay? So whether it's right or wrong, we can debate that today or tomorrow, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And it happens. It happens as simply as in the council. I'll give you the example. without, I don't want to stray too much here, and not just the council, where we now don't have a difference between legal and illegal immigrants. Everybody's an immigrant. So people manipulate, my opinion, people manipulate different terms, different words to achieve their end goals.
You're right.
Does that make it right? Not saying it does.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah. But here's I guess, the thing that just baffles me is that another example of that is the term invasion. Donald Trump has claimed that people coming into our country illegally is the same thing as Russia tanks rolling over the border into Ukraine. The term invasion, when that was given emergency powers by our founders, they were clearly meant invading armies. I mean, there's no dispute of that. And so that's another example of him doing what you're saying, using the language in a way that it wasn't intended. And in doing that, he is bringing more power into the executive branch that at any time in my lifetime. And my whole life, conservatives have been about dispersing power from the executive branch, putting power to the states, putting power to Congress, making power more democratic. And now, because we have this one guy who they are all beholden to, they have completely flipped and apparently think that once Trump is out of office, it will go back to how it was. And it won't.
It probably won't. But here's the thing, too. Where a lot of people see that Trump's doing, and let me just pick one item, like we talked about the invasion. Okay. All right. So he uses that expression in order to achieve certain goals.
But legally as well.
And legally as well. Because by definition, it fits the criteria. And I am not the lawyer here. But if I sit here and I say to myself, and I know this is a slippery slope, I got it. I agree with how he is using that term, because it has put a stop to the illegal crossings, whether they're illegal crossings, an invasion, mess, and whatever you want to call it. It has stopped that, okay? And a lot of people, myself included, don't believe in illegal immigration, period, okay? Now, whether Biden or Obama or whatever the case may be, whether they could have slowed or stopped this thing, this entrance, mess entrances, they could have. But they chose not to for whatever political reasons. So here we are. I
agree with all of that, but it doesn't change the fact that you collectively, Republicans, have allowed for more power to be concentrated in the executive branch than at any time ever in my lifetime. And that will continue when Gavin Newsom or Governor Pritzker, whoever the next Democrat, will have the exact same power that you have now ceded. You, again, not personally, Republicans, have now ceded. And they are going to regret that horribly. And the short-sightedness of not being able to recognize that is amazing to me.
It is. It is concerning. I'm not going to deny that. The thing, too, is that there's a void. When a void is created, either by the Congress or by the Supreme Court, the executive is going to jump in. And if I was the president and if I wanted to accomplish certain things, you're darn right I would go for power grab. You see that in industry. You see that in organizations, the previous industry that I worked on. I saw that with program managers. Program managers would take away from the finance, from the...
That's a bad thing.
It's not a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just not a good thing.
Well, in this situation, I mean, we're not talking purely about power vacuums. We're talking about some things where Congress stepped in. For example, they created these positions of inspector general so that whoever the president was, whether I agree with them or not, somebody's independent of the president looking at what each department does, and about a dozen inspector generals for different departments, different departments like the State Department or whatever.
Sure. The military has inspected generals.
I mean, and he fired them, he wasn't allowed to do.
I would love to know what happened behind it. We see the outside.
What do you think? I mean, do you think they all could have been corrupt?
Probably not. But the thing about it, though, Peter, is before I would make a condemnation, and I agree that IGs have a purpose. Mm-hmm. I do. when I was in the Marine Corps, I mean, there was an IG. I mean, you need those folks. Why this happened, why this was allowed to happen, I don't know, because there's a lot of conflicting information. Mm-hmm. You say one thing, Walt says something else, and what's the truth?
I haven't heard what I haven't heard is the explanation. What is the explanation?
I don't know.
No. What right. is you? If you've heard one that purports to justify firing those people and a reason for it other than I don't want anybody looking over my shoulder, if there's a justification for it that you've heard, tell us.
I would share it with
so
you.
So you haven't heard one.
I have not heard one, right.
And I haven't heard one, you know, from anyone. Another one that's going on right now that, yeah, of course, Trump's making zillions of dollars from this presidency. But
do we know that? I mean, really, do we? Can you actually say, you know what? Here's a record of his financial account.
I think if I had an account, if I were an accountant, I think I could, yes.
If people can actually prove that and say, you know what?
I was going to ask you about what was lead into asking you about one in particular that's going on now. You've heard about Netflix trying to buy Warner Brothers.
Right.
And Paramount has made a hostile takeover offer.
Right.
And ultimately somebody's going to decide in the government, you know, aside from what the shareholders decide they want to do, with either of those, one could make an argument that antitrust laws prohibit the merger. So if Joe Biden were president and Hunter Biden were with Paramount trying to make a deal and Netflix had tried to make its deal, what would you think if Joe Biden said, I'm gonna decide this?
He should not do that.
So would you agree that Mr. Trump shouldn't do it when Jared Kushner, his son-in-law?
I agree. Because there's a conflict.
Yeah.
Or there's an apparent conflict.
Any judge would say, I am not going to decide this. Right. Or any reasonable government servant, you know.
Would say,
this involves my sister, so I'm not going to vote on this. He's saying, I am going to decide this.
Well, and I look at some of the areas, like I said earlier, that I don't agree with the president. It's like getting involved with a renaming of the stadium in D.C. I mean, those are kind of things that, to me, I don't agree with. Okay.
So other than immigration, and you're right. I mean, Biden made a mess of that, and he fixed it. He cleaned it up.
Yep.
Full credit for that. What are the other areas where you are in agreement with him?
I agree with the, quote, attacks on fishing boats, whatever you want to call them, drug boats, whatever it is. I agree what he's doing that. I have my questions when it comes to the tariffs.
Well,
I understand the rationale. I do, because it is bringing in money to the Treasury. I got that. But it's impacting the citizen.
It's a tax. Okay.
It is a tax.
And just... The way it was rolled out once again, the messaging is not one of the president. In some ways, he doesn't have a very strong messaging approach. And I agree with that part. I do agree with the way the military is being reshaped with the new Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War.
Do you think he's qualified?
Okay, so let's talk about that. And I've seen it so many times that says, well, what makes qualified? Okay, a lot of times, depending on the situation, I don't know if there's a job description for the Secretary of War. Maybe
there is. No, there isn't.
There isn't. Okay.
But there certainly is a history.
Well, but here's the thing.
And a tradition.
We don't know. Let me back up. When I was in both the industry and in the military, a lot of times individuals that show that they have the qualifications or the drive or the knowledge or the whatever, all the criteria, they were given an opportunity. Now, Pete was given that opportunity to lead.
Because he was a Fox News host. Let's be honest. Would Donald Trump know who Pete Hegseth was if he wasn't a Fox News?
Probably not. But okay. What exactly is Pete doing wrong today?
Oh, clearly.
Like what? Go ahead. Okay. No. Now, if you...
How about the signal, having...
Yes. Check.
Having a discussion on an unsecure line.
I got that part.
Can you imagine any... I mean, seriously, can you imagine any previous Secretary of Defense, including their wife, including their, I think, brother, and putting what are clearly war plans on an unsecured line?
I'll give you that one. Okay.
Okay, but that's not a big thing.
To me, of course it is. Okay. And again, this has been discussed
anybody else would be fired immediately from that.
If I was in uniform today.
Right.
And I had a Secretary of Defense like he is today.
Right.
I would be very happy to have him.
You like the macho stuff.
I like the macho. Yeah. That's the military.
Okay. That's fair.
That area, I totally agree. Did he screw up with a signal?
How about
probably.
If you had a daughter in the military?
What? I don't understand the question. Well,
clearly, he is now saying that there really is no place for women in the military.
He has been saying that for long. Let me tell you, when women first started getting introduced, and I know I'm going to catch some hell for this, but this is the facts. Back in the, I think it was late 70s, into the MOS, Military Occupational School, that we were at, it really caused a lot of problems. It did. Okay. There was favoritism, there was this, there was that, there was so forth and so on. Over time, I worked, and there's a lot of professional women. There's not, but personally, in combat arms, personally, I don't agree they should be there. There are certain jobs that I have no issue with it, but that's just.
What about combat pilots, women?
Combat pilots is fine.
Yeah, I was going to say the day of sending masses of troops over the hill, I think, are kind of over. I mean, I think the new war is not going to be fought with rucksacks; it's going to be fought with drones and joysticks.
Probably is, but look at Iraq. Look at that door to door, home to home combat.
Speaking of wars, what's your feeling about the Ukraine, the Russian invasion of Ukraine? That war continues.
So a couple things. So first of all, Russia screwed up in doing that. Okay, it should have never been allowed to happen. Mm-hmm. Now we're in the heck of a mess because
when you say allowed by whom? Are you getting into this thing that Biden would have?
We should have. Okay, collectively either through NATO or the U.S. something should have taken place to either slow the incursion of the Russians in or stop it. But let me just finish my thought real quick. Go to today. This Ukraine-Russian war is costing the U.S. terribly, not only in dollars, but in munitions. We are depleting our stockpiles. All those missiles, all those whatever it is, where do you think it's coming from? And my question has been, and I have not seen an answer, is the U.S. replenishing that ammunition, that armaments as soon as it is depleted? It's probably not.
So what would you, I mean, we're looking at, I know you can make an argument that it's not so bad, but in terms of international law and I think justice, Mr. Putin's wrong.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He also... If we allow him to keep what he's got and get a little more territory, including there's some very strategic heights that he does not have that he would then have and could roll into the rest of Ukraine, he'll eventually do that. I mean, anybody with any sense knows that.
I agree.
Donald Trump may not, but, anybody, whatever their views may be. And he probably won't stop there. There are other countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union that he would like to recover.
Absolutely.
And then there's other countries in Europe that, if I can take them, why not? It's really a lot. It reminds me a lot of Hitler before our time, making his way across Europe.
I agree with you.
So would you not think that it's somewhat in our interest, unless we want to cede Europe to Mr. Putin? And, you know, one could make that argument, I guess. Hey, it's over there, we're over here. But would you not want to stop that?
I do not agree with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, period. Okay? It was a senseless, in my opinion, it was a senseless attack. It's killing thousands, hundreds of thousands, whatever it is. It's hurting us financially. It's hurting us with armament. And I don't see an end to it. I mean, I know the president is very optimistic, and I applaud him for trying. I'll give him credit for that. That son of a gun seems to be trying like crazy to get this thing stopped. But is he going to do it? I have my doubts.
He's gotten obsessed. You know, there's an interesting side to Leon Prison, and I don't know if you know this, but I can never forget it. He was at a big thing in New York, a big dinner, and somebody was speaking and making fun of him. Have you heard this? Mm. Basically, you know, the speaker was making fun of Donald Trump. Not wasn't his whole point, but he did that. And the speaker was Obama. So number one was a black guy, and number two was making fun of Donald Trump. And I think that's a key motivation in Donald Trump. And he acts in everything. If Obama's name is on it, or even Biden's, he's like a dog trying to mark his territory. You know, the health care thing, I mean, he acts crazy about that.
That is the reason why he pardoned the drug kingpin from Honduras at the same time that we're blowing up drug boats. His only explanation is, well, I heard that he got a raw deal by the Biden Justice Department.
Obama got a Nobel Prize. Trump is obsessed with getting one.
I don't think he's going to get one by Neville Chamberlain.
I
find that troubling. What am I going to say?
I was going to say, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Obama was not exactly.
We didn't get to. No. Yeah, I love having one microphone. We got two minutes left, Walt. So.
No. Here, you go ahead. I was going
to. So, Donald Trump is out of office in 3 years from now. Where does the Republican Party go from there?
So, you guys probably know this. I am not a huge. How I vote and my involvement with the party is two separate things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where does the conservative movement go from there?
It's going to be in a pinch because it's going to be tight. Because if we end up with another quote Obama, so it's like a tug of war, right? You have Obama pulled it far to the left. Biden, I'm not sure he knew what was going on there, and Trump is trying to pull it back to the right. It's going to be tough. And what's going to happen, and I think it's going to be tough, it's going to be because depending on who comes in, hopefully we have somewhat of a moderate individual, okay, that will kind of.
Good luck. Both parties loathe moderates at this point in time.
Part of the reason I don't.
Maybe you and I can run a joint ticket.